Welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza, working from home on this pre-recorded program via remote from Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Wednesday, February 24th, 2021. Health officials in South Sudan ordered the closure of a university due to a surge in cases of coronavirus in the capital, Juba.
We have made some observations while we are there. Yes, people are worried. But we have seen number of people within the institution that are wearing masks.
And a single mother is appealing for help with her business.
After I worked for about 6 months, I realized the payment I was getting wasn't enough because I have kids to take care of.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Ghana has become the first country to receive a delivery of coronavirus doses from the global effort to boost vaccine access after a plane landed Wednesday with 600,000 AstraZeneca shots. The immunization help arrives days after President Joe Biden pledged $4 billion to the multilateral pact known as COVAX, breaking with the Trump administration's exclusion of the World Health Organization-backed mission. The West African country of 39 million people was selected as the first recipient after sending a rollout plan to COVAX, proving its healthcare teams and cold chain equipment were ready to support a quick distribution. And in the South Sudan capital, Juba, the National Ministry of Health has ordered the closure of the University of Juba for allegedly violating coronavirus preventive measures. The chairman of the Coronavirus Audit Committee says students sitting for exams at the university are neither social distancing nor wearing face masks. For VOA News, Dengai Deng reports from Juba.
Dr. Richard Lako, chairman of the Coronavirus Audit Committee, says his group assessed conditions at the university and found nearly zero efforts to contain the spread of the virus at the University of Juba, something he says endangers the lives of everyone at the university.
You have criteria for all the institutions, and that institution will be rated based on those and see whether they will be following. From 0 to 11, we call you are at the high risk of transmission, and this is definitely where the first recommendation will come, that the facility should be shut down if you have a high risk. We have made some observations while we are there. Yes, people are worried, but we have seen number of people within the institution that are wearing masks.
Lako says all institutions, including universities, should comply with the new lockdown regulations issued earlier this month by the National Task Force on COVID-19.
And our message to everybody, of course, we told them that we'll be having a follow-up visit. That one will be a surprise visit. We'll not tell them, to make sure that the observation we made, they're improving, and also not Juba University. We are not targeting Juba University. We are talking about if it is universities, all the universities, all the schools, the public. Like tomorrow, we'll also be visiting certain some places. We'll be visiting even markets, by the way, and see how things happening in those places.
John Anget, the acting guild president at the University of Juba, insists that most students at the university are following the guidelines for preventing transmission of the virus.
Most of the students now, they have taken time and they are now reading and they are doing their exams. And education is a part of life, as people are saying, and as also all of us know. So should it happen that a abrupt kind of order comes up and the university is closed and students are just scattered and maybe they are sent home, then definitely emotionally students will be affected, because students have already taken education like part of their life. So I'm seeing some possible ways of university continue to operate and come up with the preventive measures. That one is, I'm seeing into it that if we observe all that and we continue along that way, then there is nothing we can continue in our education. You know, like, see the market, the churches, the congestion in the bus park. So how would you compare it with the university? I think university is far much better compared to the congestion in the market.
Bol John Yach, a third-year law student at the University of Juba, says interfering with the student exams is unwise and could affect student performance and even discourage others to continue with their studies.
The students are not removing face masks. But in actual fact, the student are believing that coronavirus is there. For a while, is after you have used your face mask for 3 to 2 hours, you will remove it for a while in order to get a fresh air. That is what is going on. But the student, they don't remove. They believe coronavirus is there. Actually, coronavirus is not going anywhere with us. It is going to affect because every year you are still in the same class. Some of the students will even drop out and their performance will decrease. This is what really is imposing on a student. Students should be allowed to study as time goes and observe the social distancing and other requirements for coronavirus.
Adam Cholong, Dean of Student Affairs at the University of Juba, says lecturers are doing their best to make sure students observe the preventive guidelines, but says they face several challenges.
In the class, we are making it a must that every student is staying, going for the hall to do their exams. They must keep the distance because we have distance there. They are not close to each other. There is a distance there. They wear a mask. Any student who does not wear a mask will not be allowed to take exams. But when they are outside, all right, when they are coming from home, they don't care about that wearing mask. But the mask is in their pocket or in their bag.
Earlier this month, the South Sudan Coronavirus Task Force enforced a new lockdown for the period of 1 month after a surge in the number of coronavirus infections and death. All schools, universities, social and religious gatherings were ordered to close. At least 2 lecturers from the University of Juba reportedly died of the virus recently. As of Wednesday, South Sudan documented 6,082 positive cases of coronavirus, 3,829 recoveries and 83 deaths. For VOA News, I am Deng Gaiding in Juba.
Still on COVID-related stories, reported rapes in Nigeria have tripled during the COVID-19 pandemic to a few thousand. But the UN Children's Fund says 1 in 4 girls have been victims of sexual violence, meaning countless thousands of rapes are going unreported. Nigerian programmer has created an application for rape survivors to report the attacks and seek help while avoiding social stigma. Percy Dibang reports from Yola, Nigeria.
22-year-old Nigerian student Angela Felix, not her real name, says her cousin raped her during last year's pandemic lockdown. Too ashamed to tell her family or police, she instead considered suicide until she stumbled onto a mobile application that probably saved her life.
What got at my attention with the app was the fact that I don't need to be in touch with the person before stating my case or getting help. So I actually decided to try that. And then I downloaded the app, I stated my case, and you could imagine, like, immediately I got help.
The Smart RR app allows rape victims to report the crime to authorities without going to the police in person. Users can also get counseling and support online. It effectively shields the identity of women who previously wouldn't report the rape due to fear or stigma. The app is currently operational in the state of Adamawa, Cross Rivers, Lagos, and Borno. Its creator, Diruk Samuel, says he was motivated by the rise in reported rape cases during the lockdown.
Simply kind of solving the issue of stigma, because you can report to a service provider and you can be in contact with the service provider with necessarily, like, I mean, without nobody knowing that you've asked for help from someone except you, the service provider, and perhaps the perpetrator that knows what happened. So with that, it increases reporting.
The UN Children's Fund, UNICEF, says 1 in 4 Nigerian girls and women have been victims of sexual violence. But only a few thousand rapes are reported each year across the whole of Nigeria, a country of more than 200 million people, meaning countless thousands of rapes are going unreported. That's crippling the fight against rapists, say activists. The Hope and Rural Aid Foundation's Bibiana Adams hopes the app can help.
There are so many referral channels, but we discovered that the Smart RR is easier. Guiding principles are inclusive. The need for confidentiality is there. So you can't even use it without the consent of the survivors.
While better reporting should help, critics say Nigeria's legal system still fails most rape survivors. Saadatu Umar is with the Nigerian Association of Female Lawyers in Nigeria's northeastern Adamawa State.
The issue of conviction is a big issue, and it's a big step for us. If we can have a conviction, it will serve as deterrent to others. That will minimize the cases of rape.
Despite the jump in reported rapes during the pandemic, Nigeria's National Police Force said last year there were only 103 convictions nationwide. Percy Dabang for VOA News, Yola, Nigeria.
A South Sudanese single mother of two has started an online fundraising campaign to raise money for her laundry business. Sarah Naumba started a GoFundMe campaign earlier this week to raise money to purchase a washing machine and a dryer for her business. Naumba says she has gained confidence of new customers and the work is too demanding and exhausting due to long hours of work. David Monodanga visited Naumba's workshop and reports for VOA from Juba.
Sarah Naumba sits under the roof of a three-roomed boy squatters building in the Suksande residence where she washes clothes for a living. She has heaps of clothes piled up in front of her. Some of them are soaking in three large basins. Dressed in black pants and a grey t-shirt emblazoned with the words, "I was social distancing before it was cool," Naomba sits on a stool after moving it about 3 meters away to socially distance while talking about her job. She says she started her laundry business a little over a year ago after she quit her job with Crown Hotel in Juba.
After I worked like for about 6 months, I realized the payment I was getting wasn't enough because I have kids to take care of plus myself. So I had to save up a little bit of money so that I could be able to start this business. And that's what I did. After I saved some money, I had to leave the job and start this business.
The 28-year-old single mother of two says she has to set up the business at home so she can take care of her children and save on the cost of renting a shop. She says her overhead cost was small, so she could afford to buy important equipment like the basin she uses to wash clothes and a drum of water and soap. Naomba says it was tough in the beginning.
When I started, I really never had many customers, but I really tried to do a very good job so that they don't get disappointed and go away for all and not come back. And that has really helped me a lot because since I started, whoever came has never gone away. They always come back. And that has really helped me a lot because they also pass the message to other people.
Naomba uses clean water, soap and other detergents to make sure the clothes come out clean. She also irons her customers' clothes. For all these services, she charges just 75 South Sudanese pounds for each article of clothing. Sarah Naomba works hard to earn her pay. Sometimes she wakes up as early as 4 a.m. and works until 9 p.m. to meet the demand. Although she is happy she has new customers, Naomba says the work is demanding and by the end of every day, she is exhausted. That's why she asked her friend who lives abroad to open a GoFundMe account on her behalf so she can raise money from well-wishers to buy a washing machine. She says her goal is to raise $650 because she has some savings from her business to take care of the rest of the costs.
The savings I have is 200, but the machine they are selling is at 700 USD. So that's why I opened the campaign. I really, really need the support to whoever is, who is going to donate. It's really, really much appreciated. And whatever you donate, you don't have to donate big, whatever you give.
Naomba wants a laundry machine set up that can wash and dry clothes. That way, she and her new employee, Jacqueline Simon, can get some rest. Simon says the work will become much easier with a washer and a dryer.
Customers bring bed sheets, jeans, and even blankets. That was why when I started walking, all my muscles pained for a while, but now it is normal. I hope my voice can reach people. If there is someone who wants to donate 3 machines or a machine to wash jeans, clothes, and blankets, that will be good.
Sarah Naumba's GoFundMe page, called Help Single Mother Sarah Kickstart Her Business, is being circulated on the social media platforms, WhatsApp and Facebook. For VOA News, I am David Monodanga in Juba.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, Ethiopians continue to escape conflict in the Tigray region. Stay tuned for details on that story after the break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
do you know any first aid techniques?
Come to think of this question, I thought I do, but seriously, I think I may not be able to do too well if there is any situation present. Maybe it's something I need to go in and learn how to do. It could help somebody tomorrow.
During our school days, the Red Cross Society, the clubs that we joined, they taught us a lot. When a child runs high temperature, you sponge the child with water from the leg to the head. Then you just rush the person to the hospital for best treatment.
In case if you have drowned maybe from water, the first aid technique that is available to be given is a kiss of life to a person that has drowned into water.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. The UN Refugee Agency reports violence in Ethiopia's western Benishangul Gums region has sent thousands of people fleeing for safety to Sudan's Blue Nile states in recent weeks. For VOA News, Lisa Schlein reports from Geneva.
Insecurity in Ethiopia's Metekel zone in Benishangul Gumuz region has been ongoing since 2019. However, tensions in the region have rapidly escalated in the past 3 months. The Ethiopian Human Rights Commission reports an estimated 500 people have been killed in the region in the last 5 months. Of these, it says more than 200 lost their lives in just one day, on December 23rd. UN Refugee Agency spokesman Baba Baluch says the escalating violence has prompted several thousand people to seek refuge in Sudan's Blue Nile state over the last month.
The refugee arrivals itself started in November with a couple of hundred refugees crossing into Sudan. But in the last few weeks, the number has picked up, and we now have an estimated 7,000. I mean, the stories that refugees are bringing are fleeing attacks from their opponents.
The escalating violence prompted the federal government of Ethiopia to declare a state of emergency in the Metekel zone on January 21st. Baluch says many of the refugees who recently fled Ethiopia have arrived in hard-to-reach locations along the border. He says the UNHCR is working closely with Sudanese authorities and partners to assess the situation and respond to the humanitarian needs of the refugees from Benishangul Gumuz.
The region is in western Ethiopia. As I currently understand, this displacement is not directly related to the conflict in the country's northern Tigray region, which have pushed more than 61,000 refugees to seek safety in Sudan in recent months.
Baluch says the majority of the asylum seekers are living among the Sudanese host community. So far, he says, nearly 3,000 refugees have been registered and nearly 1,000 have been provided with food, water and sanitation, and access to health and aid supplies. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
The U.S. military will roar back to life on the African continent after a year of pandemic-induced dominance, officials say, with major military exercise. With that and other efforts, they say they hope to reestablish U.S. as the continent's top security partner. VOA's Anita Powell reports from Johannesburg.
The largest U.S.-led military exercise in Africa was shelved in 2020 amid pandemic concerns. This June, it will return, says Major General Andrew Rolling, one of the top U.S. military leaders overseeing the continent. This year's exercise will be held in Morocco, Senegal, and Tunisia.
This year, when we designed African Lion 21, we specifically designed it to be flexible, to be able to adapt with where the world and each country of Africa were in the fight against COVID, to be able to execute some form of an exercise. And then we're well down the road in being able to do that. And so in this year, we'll conduct African Lion with about 10,000 troops and about 20 of our partner nations.
It's yet another sign that, as U.S. diplomats have recently said, the U.S. is back and ready to re-engage with the world. But unlike his diplomatic counterparts, Rolling did not hesitate to name China as the main U.S. rival for influence on the continent, and to explain why he thinks the U.S. is a better choice.
We continue to provide a preferable alternative to partnering with an actor who may undermine the economic, political, and security institutions, as well as increase instability across the continent of Africa. So our competitive security edge lies primarily with the superiority of our equipment, of our training, of our education, and the other security assistance that we provide. And secondly, with our support to counter terrorist operations across the continent.
General Christopher Cavoli, commanding general of U.S. Army Europe and Africa, was similarly direct when addressing questions about Russia's military ambitions on the continent. Russia recently announced it will establish a naval base in Sudan.
With regard to the Russians specifically, the Russians are using their diplomatic, economic, and in some cases military means to expand their access and influence. And I think that the United States offers Africa more. We offer a different model. We offer stability. We offer counterviolent extremist organization activity, and we offer the promise of democracy, human rights, and the rule of law, which is what the United States has always stood for.
The two generals also noted that although the pandemic may have slowed down their activities on the continent, insurgent and extremist groups seem to have continued their work in 2020. That, they said, is the main challenge they are working with African nations to meet and defeat. Anita Powell, VOA News, Johannesburg.
From Johannesburg, we move to Kenya, where 38 out of 39 counties in Kenya yesterday approved the constitutional amendment bill known as the Building Bridges Initiatives, or BBI. As Atieno Odhiambo reports from Nairobi, the process now goes to the Senate for deliberation and later a national referendum.
Speaking over the weekend while campaigning for the Building Bridges Initiative, or BBI, opposition leader Raila Odinga, one of the principals of BBI, exuded confidence that the bill will meet the 24 counties threshold by yesterday, Tuesday. In an apparent reference to Deputy President William Ruto, Mr. Odinga rebuked those who he said are against the bill. He called on them to continue opposing it and not change their minds at the last minute.
The coming Tuesday is called the Super Tuesday. Super Tuesday, we want to get 24 counties approving BBI bill. This is going to help us to move to the next stage. There are people doubting Thomas S. who have been fighting BBI. And we want to tell them, don't change your mind. Continue to oppose BBI. Let us meet with you people in the debate.
Despite claims by BBI opponents that the bill will fail in the Mount Kenya and Rift Valley regions, perceived to be Deputy President Ruto's strongholds, the bill passed successfully, with only Baringo County rejecting it. Baringo County Assembly Majority Leader Lawi Kipchumba told residents of the county after the bill debate that they did not approve the bill because it is not a priority. He said there are more important issues that require immediate attention. He says, we have decided to stand with our people's decision. BBI is a no in Baringo County, and even if you contest the ruling outcome in court and we have to repeat the voting process, we will still vote no. We don't see any importance of the BBI, and it is not even a priority. No one in Baringo County has mentioned having a problem with the current constitution. The problems we have include health and access to safe water, so BBI is not a priority to Kenyans. 27 counties passed the bill yesterday, bringing the total number to 38, exceedingly surpassing the constitutional 24 counties threshold. The bill will now proceed to the next step, which is deliberation at the National Assembly and the Senate before being put to a referendum scheduled for June this year. Council of Governors Chairman Whitley Foparanya said the crucial stage of the BBI process has already been completed because the outcome of the deliberations in the National Assembly and Senate does not affect the process.
The most important section was this of the counter assembly. The MPs have no other powers over this bill. It's just now a procedure to pass it through. You have no choice but to pass it as is, because the critical point, whether they say no, it will go to the referendum.
The amendment bill proposes the expansion of the national executive by adding the office of the prime minister and two deputies. It was born out of the March 2018 ceasefire between President Kenyatta and opposition leader Raila Odinga, which ended hostilities ignited by Odinga's rejection of the 2017 presidential election outcome. Atieno Odhiambo, VOA in Nairobi, Kenya.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm VOA health correspondent Linor Mudu. The World Health Organization and Africa Centers for Disease Control say we all can help fight the coronavirus pandemic by wearing face masks that cover our mouths and noses when we are in crowded areas. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest news on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
We love to hear what you think about this show. Send us your short comments to our WhatsApp number +1 202 630 8011. We will air your comments every Friday. That's our show for this Wednesday. We now leave you with the song Shikilmanga by General Paulino. We've been listening to General Paulino with the song Shikilmanga. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for being part of our evening. Remember to always wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing, and wear a mask when you are in public places. Do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers because there's no cure for coronavirus. Join us again tomorrow for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
Ridaiya ben banat min zogu afunono Farida ya benti tata mizogu wa fununu Aziza ya wakiafa sununululu Aziza ya wakiafa sununululu